Welcome back to Money Life, where it's time for our big interview today. And quite honestly, we could have put this as a Survey Said segment, except for the fact that, well, this isn't your ordinary survey, and there's a lot of buckshot here, and I want to go deeper. And I get to do that with Lou Harvey. He's the president and chief executive officer at Dalbar. Now, Dalbar is probably best known for the studies that it's done on how investors do relative to their mutual funds. But one thing that they've now come out with is their best interest analysis. And it's looking at the financial services industry and how in line the interests of the financial services business are with clients. There's a lot of buckshot here. If you want to go check some of that out for yourself, dalbar.com is where you go. And if you find Lou on the Money Life Show recent guest page, you'll find a long link that will get you directly to more information on the new best interest analysis. Lou Harvey, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. It's good to chat with you.
Lou joins us on the Gainbridge Hotline. With a simple built-in calculator, the Gainbridge technology illustrates what your investment amount will return long before you make a commitment. Gain access, gain control, Gainbridge.life. Lou, we've talked for years about financial advisors and where advisors are relative to clients and what clients should be thinking about, et cetera. This is kind of alarming because we're really taking a look at how the financial advice industry is evolving. We'd hope it would be evolving towards the consumer, like coming to us better, more consistent, more aligned services. But that's not really what you're showing, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, there's a split, Chuck. There's a split between the language that's being used and how that language is implemented. The language that's being used is the industry is saying we are acting and we are going to be acting in the best interest of investors. And that is the direction we're taking. However, at the very same time, they're making the assumption in the industry that the industry professionals know what the client's best interests are. And I didn't believe that at first, so we went out and tested it. And lo and behold, there's a gap through which you could ride a herd of elephants.
Is this all because the industry and the government and regulators can't agree on a fiduciary standard? I mean, you talk about a split. Financial advisors, people who charge you for their advice, have to be fiduciaries, meaning they have a fiduciary responsibility to live up to, and that means they have to put the interests of their client first. Guys who sell investments, brokers, well, they don't have to have a fiduciary standard. They can get by on a suitability standard, wherein it doesn't have to be in your best interest. It just has to be suitable for you. Is this all an offshoot of that, that the industry still hasn't gotten this done in spite of years of saying that we were going to go to fiduciary?
Yes, that is the case. The industry has been fighting that fiduciary overlay for decades. You and I have talked about the fiduciary standard and being fiduciaries and the value of that being the case. We found that the industry keeps fighting it. Part of the fiduciary standard is acting in the best interest of the client. That is one of the fundamental tenets of a fiduciary standard. So by adopting that, it's sort of a halfway movement in the direction of the fiduciary. So it means that they're moving in that direction. But as I mentioned earlier, there's such a huge flaw in assuming that we know already what clients need and want.
Is this trend helped or hurt by the evolution of robo-advice, robo-advisors, where we know that more people than ever get their first taste of financial advice without having a person attached to it? It's signing up with a service or something along those lines. And so you've got a service that, hey, whatever biases and whatever things somebody uses when they program, those come out. So is this spread, is it including? Is there any way for you to see what's happening on the robo-advice side? Because at least people who deal with robo-advisors, for the most part, think what they're getting is unconflicted best interest advice.
And it is. What happens with the robo is the bias is taken out. However, the quality is also missing. There are virtually no standards as to what comprises good robo-advice. And in the cases that we've actually examined, it's shocking. I mean, I could go through many, many situations where the robo-advisors fall short of anything but anything that would even look like being prudent advice.
The good news is at least it's not conflicted.
Right, yeah.
The bad news is that, wait, you're just not...
You gotta be careful because there's a lot of crap out there.
Yeah. How do people beat this? I mean, I've written books on choosing and working with financial advisors. I'm passionate on the subject. You're passionate on the subject. We know that investors who do this themselves, courtesy of your other research, wind up buying high, selling low, never getting good results. They want to get help. There's all kinds of studies that say you do better when you have help, but you don't do best until you have really good help that's aligned with your interest. So how does somebody get over this hump and make sure that they're on the right side?
Careful selection in the whole process. I think the investor needs to understand two things in the process. How do you find an unbiased advisor? And there I turn to the fiduciary label. And then the other is, how do I know what I'm getting into? It's one thing for the advisor to do something, but do I, as an investor, know what I'm getting into? And, you know, there are shades of Enron and all the other things that make up the history of investments that one needs to be cautious about. So caution in selecting the advisor, and then caution in reviewing the advice that you're receiving.
How much of this is also making sure that your advisor is the right advisor for you? And by that, I mean, many, many, if not most people who are picking an advisor, you know, they're finding somebody that, like, hey, my friend Joe uses this guy or what have you. And the advice that works for Joe and is in Joe's best interest, it may or may not be best for you. You can live in the same neighborhood but have very different financial pictures or very different risk tolerances and all of the rest. So when you talk about the gap, is an advisor who maybe isn't working in the best interest of one client not working in the best interest of all? In other words, the people who fall on the wrong side of this, are they on the wrong side of this with everybody, or does it depend on the client?
Oh, it definitely depends on the client. And the formula that I've used for years is to judge whether or not that advisor is asking you questions that are important to you. So if somebody's talking to me, if an advisor is talking to me, and they don't ask me something like, well, when do you plan to retire? I should know that they're not considering my retirement, you know, that they're not putting weight on my retirement. So one has to listen to make sure that you're being asked questions that reflect what is important to you. And that, I think, is how you match the advisor properly to what you do. And you're right. There's no such thing as the best advisor across the board, because different people have different needs, different advisors have different skills. You know, I may be a fanatic about taxes. If you care a lot about taxes, then, you know, I'm the one that you should be talking to, and so forth and so on. You know, you have retirement specialists. There are specialists all over the place that you need to map to your own personal preferences and goals and interests.
And
use that term.
There's a flip side to this too, which is part of this problem that you're talking about, is that there are times when the advisor feels they know better, right? I likened it in at least one of my books, if not all of them, to the idea that you go into a doctor and you say, you know, doctor, my head hurts. And they go, great, let me check out your knees, right? They've decided that the problem is there, even though you think the problem is someplace else. But sometimes they're right. I mean, at least when it comes to finances, sometimes they're right. They need to get you up the risk scale, or they need to get you to take more chances, or they need to get you to diversify and buy something you're not comfortable with. So how do we deal for that? Because you can have an advisor who disagrees with you, but they're doing stuff in your best interest.
If they can relate what they're proposing to something that you personally care about, I think you just trust them. The point is that if the person, if I am deeply concerned about a particular issue, if I'm deeply concerned about taxes, then I want to talk to this guy about taxes. You can judge that. You don't necessarily have to understand the IRS rules and, you know, how it applies and all of those complexities, or try to second guess that person. But if that person is fluent in talking about the area that you're interested in, you got a winner.
So make sure you're vetting them, and then make sure you're doing the right things to make sure that they're not only interested in your areas, but they're covering those other areas as well. Make sure you test them out in the one place and do the rest. Otherwise, they may not be in your best interest. That's the result of this new Dalbar study. Lou, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me on the show. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Well, my pleasure, and talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. That's Lou Harvey. He's the president and chief executive officer at Dalbar. If you want to learn more, it's dalbar.com for Dalbar Incorporated. They're on Twitter at Dalbar Inc. INC. And Lou's on Twitter. He's at LouHarvey44. Up next.
Danger, danger.
We're heading for trouble. Stick around. This is Money Life.